Just about everybody on here, but I'll introduce myself. My name is Justin Borboom. I'm the resource unit conservationist, the Hills Resource Unit. And so I oversee the Belfouche, Sturgis, Rapid City, and Wall offices. So, and I've been working, no, I was in Belfouche before this, so I've been working pretty close with Victor and Justin on some of the cost share opportunities that we're going to talk about tonight. Victor's going to talk about most set, so I'll turn it over to him.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining on. I'm Victor Tushin. I'm the district conservationist here in Belfouche. And so I'll cover the programs quickly about what we're offering for pivots and irrigation pipeline. We got a couple programs. The first one is the RCPP program. And that one is working with the partnership on with 319 money to fund $1.25 million in the next 3 years with 2 years for programs afterwards. So it'd be like a five-year program. The cost shares for pivots, the irrigation pipeline going to the pivot, and any associated soils health practices such as no-till, conservation crop rotation, cover crops, and irrigation water management. So that irrigation water management will be like the sensors. So it's going to pay for the first year to get the sensor and then 2 years following based on the acres that will be irrigated. The pivots can be cost shared on most of the soils, but the slope cannot be greater than 2% for the Kyle, Peer, and Stetter soils. On those three soils, if the slope is less than 2%, the producers will be required to have a no-tilled annual, no-tilled system with annual crops only for 1 year, and then perennial crops for the rest of the time. So you'd be able to plant alfalfa, and then you could have a year of an annual crop, but you'd have to do that no-tilled and then back to alfalfa again. Otherwise, the pivot will not be able to be cost shared to that program. Right now, we have 52 applications for funding. So it's a very popular program that's already taken off pretty well. The CIS is the second program, and that will be converting flood irrigation to pipe. So these will be fields that will not be in support of the pivot. So if we sign you up for RCPP and we determine that your field is not eligible for the pivot, this would be a good program that we could move you over into. So the cost shares for the pipeline and associated soils health practices again. So no-till, conservation crop rotation, cover crops, and irrigated water management. The priority area is township 8 North and Range 6 East. Right now we have 7 applications, but like I said, if we go through the RCPP applications and we find that your soils are better suited for just pipe and not the pivot, then we're going to move you over to that program. And we got $50,000 for 2021, $100,000 for 2022, and $100,000 for 2023 for funding on that. Both of them are following the same date. So eligibility for the pivot is tomorrow. We sent letters out to everybody that we had an application already for. And then the ranking deadline will be July 14th. So after the eligibility date tomorrow, we're going to start planning with everybody. We're going to get them ranked by July 14th. And then we're hoping to have a contract with you by August 27th. That will allow you to put the pivots in this fall or next spring and be ready to go for 2022. Some of the cost share rates, the pivots right now are going at $37.95 a foot. The irrigation pipe is $2.37 per pound for irrigation pipe. So we have to do a conversion. If we determine you need a 10-inch irrigation pipe, then there's a conversion factor that will tell us how many pounds that is per foot. And then that pays out. And then if you need a 12-inch pipe, same thing, there's a conversion factor. The irrigation water management will pay $771 per sensor and $3.35 per an acre. So that first year will be paying for the sensor. The 2 years after that will be paying based on the acre. I believe that should cover quite a bit of it. I can go over the prioritization type questions, but pretty much you're going to score better for RCPP if you got the correct soils and you're doing most of the practices. So the cover crops, the no-till, the crop rotation, that sort of thing. CIS will fall pretty much the exact same. The only difference is now you can't get a pivot because of your soils. So you're going to score higher for CIS, but you'll score better compared to other applicants if you can do cover crops, crop rotation, no-till. And that pretty much separates the two programs that we have right now.
And I just wanted to follow up and kind of give a little bit of the background on why we've been concentrating so hard at the CIS and with RCPP. Last year, we did an inventory of the irrigation district. And, you know, we've been, NRCS has been concentrating hard on getting pivots in there and working with the partnership. They've been a great, or the Belfoux River Watershed Partnership, they've been a great partner. And we've been doing this for 10 years and we're not even halfway done of where we could convert from flood to pivot. So that's where, you know, we're really concentrating on this RCPP. And I guess if some people don't know what RCPP is, I'll just give a brief background on that as well. It's a resource conservation partnership program. And what that is it's like our normal EQIP, but the difference is that we work with partners to come up with match. So like Victor said, we have $1.25 million that we can cost share pivots with. So $600,000 of that is coming from NRCS and $600,000 is coming from match with local partners. And that would be like the Belfouche Irrigation District, the Belfouche River Watershed Partnership, and then the Butte Conservation District has been getting some grant money that we're using for match as well. So we're really concentrating on trying to get as much effort or as much projects completed in the district irrigation district as we can. And hopefully we'll carry this on after this RCPP and after this CIS, we're hoping to re-enroll and get more money again, because where we're sitting now, we pretty much have applications. We could spend all that money. That doesn't mean, you know, that we don't want people applying because of the fact that we're going to try to get more done. And yeah, so I guess that's kind of where that's at. Justin, was there anything else you thought we should touch on? Oh, he must be. I know he's having some technical difficulty in trying to get Darren on and that. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else we need to cover program-wise.
Did you guys cover it?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, we're having some difficulties with dialing in or some of the Zoom links on mobile phones this evening. So with that, I'll go ahead and I see Jeremy's on, so I'm going to go ahead and admit him. And then Darren's having some issues. So we'll see how far we get here. And you guys, we're able to talk about the partnerships 319 funding a little bit.
No, that's what I forgot. If you want to discuss that a little bit, go ahead.
Okay.
You got a little better handle on it.
Yeah. So as Victor mentioned, the RCPP funding that we, the partnership and the NRCS has from USDA also requires a partner contribution, or what some people call match, but we have that. And that is something that we've been working on for probably over a year. And so those funds, those partner contributions are from the South Dakota Department of Environmental Natural Resources. and they provide non-point source funding to the partnership for irrigation improvements and also range and riparian project improvements within the Belfouche River watershed. And that's been something that's been going on for more than probably 15 years now. And so we were able to take those that funding from DENR and then match it up with the USDA funding through RCPP. So in addition to those RCPP funds that Victor and Justin mentioned, we also have up to $500,000 for irrigation improvements within the Belfouche watershed from the state DENR. So with that, we go ahead and we prioritize specifically on Horse Creek drainage, which is just west and south of Newell. It's one of the larger tributaries to the Belfouche River, and we've been working on, the partnership has been working on improvements within that drainage for probably 6, 7, 8 years. So particularly if you know of anybody that has a project in Horse Creek, whether it's irrigation or some type of stream project or livestock grazing project like livestock water improvement or fencing, go ahead and let us know. I can be contacted at 605-877-2134. And then at the end of the webinar tonight, I'll probably email out all of our contact info to everyone so they have that. So that if you have a question about something that was mentioned here tonight, you can go ahead and get a hold of one of those folks and get into details on that. So with that, I think as I look, I've got to admit, I think Jeremy's in. Darren, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, you sound good. So I'm going to turn it over to you. So Darren Alexander with Belfouche Irrigation District, and he's going to talk about a little bit about what the irrigation district likes to see on these irrigation improvement projects.
Okay. Like I said, I'm Darren Alexander with the Belfouche Irrigation District. Anyway, I'm just going to kind of cover a couple of things on if you're looking at a project to do as far as for a pivot, or actually even like Justin said, even if you're going to do a water line or something and you're going to cross any of our right-of-ways or anything, we need a PPD turned into the office. That's a preliminary project design. Anyway, you can either contact Tanya or Tara at the office. They're the secretaries there. Tristan is the manager as of now. And our number there is 605-456-2541. You can just call anytime during business hours. And just kind of a brief summary of what you're going to do as far as for the pivot. That includes how many acres you're going to be covering, what turnout you're going to be on, and that's kind of, there's some basic kind of a checklist we'll go through. But even if you're thinking, you know, a year from now or 3 years from now, it's good to get them in because it has to go up to the Bureau of Reclamation, and sometimes it can take a little time to get it back. So other than that, I guess that's about all I have. So I'll send it back to Justin.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate that. Again, if you have questions, we'll, for the Belfouche Irrigation District, we'll have their office number that they can contact. You can contact them to ask specifically what needs to be approved from them. I will add that any of our RCPP, NRCS, EQIP projects, the Butte Conservation District also has State Department of Ag funding for converting ditches to pipelines, and also the 319 funding from DENR that I mentioned earlier. All of those projects, when they're applied for from a producer or an irrigator, have to have probably approval from BFID and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation before we can start any of the project. And so that's something that is a requirement within the Belfouche Irrigation District boundaries. They have maps at their office. We have some of the maps also. So we have, and of course, most irrigators know where their water sources are coming from for their irrigation systems. So that is part of it as we start to develop or are developing a lot of these projects within the irrigation district. So, okay, with that, I think, Jeremy, are you on? Okay, can you hear me, Jeremy?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, coming over loud and clear.
All right. So, what do you want me to say, Justin?
Jeremy's with Bell Valley Irrigation in Vail, South Dakota, and I asked him to be on just as one of our local irrigation equipment dealers, and just wanted to have you talk about some of your company and some of the services that you offer within the watershed for irrigation improvements.
So, I'm with Bell Valley Irrigation, or I am Bell Valley Irrigation, or Bell Valley Irrigation is me. I'm not sure which one, but I guess as a pivot dealer, I don't, maybe my job could be or can be in this whole process, making it as easy as possible and bringing everybody together, you know, irrigation district, the conservation district, helping and the growers, the farmers. If they can come into be in contact with me, come into the office, whatever they need to do. I can, Darren talked about, you know, those PPDs and you know, the designs that need to happen. And I think that's probably a little confusing for farmers and growers sometimes. And if you guys can just come into the office, into our and we can put together a design, we can zip that right up in no time, and to be able to, I can shoot that straight to these, to Justin or Victor or Gary, and straight over to the irrigation district, and they can get that PPD going, it's a lot easier than it even seemed like. I don't know. I don't really think my point here is to promote my company, even though I'd like to, maybe, but any way I can help or any way I can be of service to you, to anybody in this process and anybody's looking for a pivot. I think we're fairly knowledge hungry people over here, and so we're always looking. We got open minds, and we'll help you in absolutely any way we can to get the best bang for your buck, and just help you out in any way we can. I guess you probably know. You know, center pivot irrigation, that's not new to anybody, I don't think. I would like to cover, LIPA, a little bit, irrigating, low energy, precise application. I don't know if this may be effect. This is maybe, I don't know, you NRCS guys, I don't know. And watershed guys, I don't know if you've have a lot of knowledge on that type of irrigating, where on these pivots where it's 40 inch spacing low to the ground, bubblers for sprinklers. I don't know And if that's not as big of a deal here, probably with water isn't necessarily as scarce here in the Belfouche River Valley project as it is some places. But you know, who knows what the future holds. But I think it's a very viable thing to think about, probably maybe even for the future. But and this type of irrigating is going on. I mean, I think you all know this. Utah, some of you know this, Utah and Colorado, where water is just scarce. And these guys are going to this, putting these sprinkler systems on their pivots. And what they used to require, fields that used to require 900 gallons a minute to make a crop, are now being able to gallon down to 600 gallons a minute to do the exact same thing, just through simply this high, this more efficient way of irrigating. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's a very viable option. I don't know if it's going to be a little more expensive just because of the more intense sprinkler package that it is, but I think it is a viable option for probably for you NRCS guys and conservation and for the farmers and growers. But I'm really enthused about it. I think it seems like a really, really cool deal, really, really good deal for everybody. And if you're interested, I'd love to work with you on it. But and I guess I'd like to say that Bell Valley Irrigation is actually having an open house on April 14. For lunch, there's going to be some grilled hamburgers down there. We're going to talk about all things irrigation and anything else you want to talk about. And everybody's welcome. It'd be great to see you down there for sure. I don't know. Maybe, Justin, is there anything else that
I probably have you give out your contact, the best number to get a hold of you at?
Okay. The office number, Bell Valley Irrigation office number, is 605-456-1888. That will, somebody will answer from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. At that number, my cell phone number, I'm just going to give that out too. 706-872-9525. I don't know. I'll share this too. Rinky has been working with CropX, used to be CropMetrics. CropX is a moisture sensor probe company. They've been researching and they've been in that field for a long time. And Rinky and CropX have come together, and they're integrating their companies kind of, so some of you have been using Rinky's remote control unit, RC10, mobile remote management unit, and Rinky and CropX are coming together, putting you can now access all data from one interface for your CropX moisture probe and your Rinky pivot. So you can run your Rinky pivot and access the moisture data from your field all on the same interface and make decisions from that interface. And it's something that Crop X and Rinky are excited about. I think I'm excited about it. And I think it's a, and you conservation guys, I think the moisture probes have been a bit of a push. And I think it's a very viable option for growers. And it's also, I think it's a, there's some lot of big benefits with it as well. So yeah.
Well, and thanks Jeremy for that information. And it's a great reminder. I probably forgot to mention it at the beginning of the webinar, but as part of the series on the irrigation improvement webinar series, we're going to talk soil health next month, April 22nd, Thursday. And then May 20th, we're going to get in deep on the electronic soil moistures, irrigation water management, all of those integrated systems that you just mentioned. So I appreciate that lead in on that. And certainly appreciate the open house. Hopefully some folks can make it there. So at this time, I'm going to keep our agenda rolling. I see we're starting to get some questions, so I want to get Travis on here, and I appreciate the information, Jeremy. And yes, we are interested in LEPA. It's something that has not been, I guess, in the forefront of most of the systems within the watershed or the irrigation district, because we've pretty much been concentrating on just converting from flood to sprinkler systems. But I see that as a next evolution of some of these systems. So thanks for bringing that up too. I appreciate that. So, okay. Anything else you got, Jeremy, quick?
I don't think so. One thing I would like to touch on a little bit here, just quick. I was talking to Darren the other day, and there's some options for self-cleaning ditch screens, headgate screens, that I think could be a very viable option for some applications. And I've been looking into those, and I think it could eliminate the need to filter the water in line. And I think that this has been a problem that has annoyed and been a problem to a lot of growers, this inline filtering. And so this First Street Welding out of Idaho Falls, I've been working with them a little bit, and they're building a rotating self-cleaning headgate screen that is I think it's a very viable option, and I'm looking forward to maybe getting to use that and see how she works. But I'm pretty enthused about that. So, yeah, I think that's all
good
I've got.
Know, good to know. And there's certainly all of those options out there. That's something that, as you mentioned that, I'm hoping with the irrigation project tour this summer, we can certainly get into perhaps take a look at some of those different alternatives out there for some of these systems. So, okay. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it. Okay, Travis, I'm going to turn off my mic and you're up next.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yep. We can hear you, and okay. Tell us who you are and who yep. You're with and your contact number.
Travis Shank with Wildcat Ag and Irrigation. Our office is in Spearfish, and then we have a shop over at Arpan. The company is owned by my wife, Jody, and I. And then my dad is pretty heavily involved, and he kind of trying to slow down a little bit, but he runs parts around and he helps us with some service and runs a loader when we're building pivots and stuff. And then we have Mike and Brian who do a lot of our service work and stuff like that. So we are a T&L dealer for the center pivot side of things. And then we're also a Netafim subsurface drip irrigation, which we haven't done any of that in this area yet, mostly just because of economics. And then we're Nelson sprinkler irrigation. So we use a lot of Nelson sprinklers on our pivots. And then also solid set big gun systems. And we use Nelson sprinklers in our K-line irrigation systems too, which are movable pod systems. So, and then Jody does all of the bookkeeping, and she does all the billing and pays all of our bills. And she does a lot of parts orders. And kind of organize all the parts things and stuff like that. So if you call Her number is 605-645-9125. And then my number is 605-645-1466. So the basically what we do, my background is in agricultural engineering. So when we design the systems, we go through all the details of the mapping, the pump designs, the impeller trims, how much power you need, which pump is going to hit your efficiency curve in the best spot to make sure that you're going to use the least amount of energy when we go down the road for the next 30, 40 years running this pivot. Then we design, you know, all the drops in the pipelines, the filtration systems. If you want any chemical injection, we work on all the design of that stuff. AgriInject is the company that we work with the most there. And then we also do, the last several years, the technology side of things has been getting a lot better and a lot simpler to use also. So we use FieldWise systems on that. The TNL pivots themselves are really simple, basic, no electronics pivots, but we can add a FieldWise system on there and make it so that you can monitor and control everything from your phone or your tablet or computer or whatever you want to use. And also with that, we can do soil moisture sensors that integrate with that same system on the same app. And then also weather stations too. So we can put a weather station out in your field and you can see how much rain you're getting, what the wind speeds are, humidity for haying and all that kind of stuff too. So that's all getting to be pretty useful information. It used to be that it was so expensive and cumbersome to run that a lot of people shied away from it, but it's really come a long ways in the simplicity and the way the user interfaces are makes things a lot easier to run. So that's something that I'm kind of excited about, I guess, in the future. It's making it so that the pivot management is a lot easier. And then another thing we really focus on too is the servicing of the pivots. We service all brands of pivots, but we see some pivots that kind of get neglected, which is pretty easy to do because you turn it off in the fall and then you don't think about it till springtime when it's time to start irrigating again. But you can really do, you know, a lot of things through the winter that make your summer a lot better. Just some basic maintenance things and just some kind of tune-up stuff that really helps to make the irrigation season go better. And then, you know, we work with the power companies. We work with several engine companies on ones where electricity isn't available and just try to make sure that we're getting the most efficient system for everybody that we can. I'd be open to any kind of questions from anybody, I guess.
Thanks, Travis. I appreciate that. Good info there. And as Jeremy mentioned, and you just mentioned, the energy, Darren got kicked off the call, I guess, tonight, but he texted and said, don't forget about Butte Electric Cooperative. And so that's the other part that Darren wanted to mention, is that anytime that we're doing improvements, especially with the sprinkler systems, you also need to get a hold of your local electric supplier. And that is pretty much Butte Electric Co-op within the watershed here in the irrigation.
If anybody has any questions about Butte Electric stuff, I can switch hats here for a second too.
Okay.
I'm also on the
board.
I'm also on the board of directors of Butte Electric. So if you ever have any questions or anything with that kind of stuff, I can help you out there too.
And that's something that Butte Electric, Brett, with Butte Electric has been part of our planning with all of the RCPP and the 319, because at this point, we're getting so many applications and so many projects being proposed of producers and irrigators changing from flood to pivot, that it's an integral part of the infrastructure also is the electrical delivery service. And so, which can also be quite can be an expensive part of it too. And so as you pivot manufacturers and dealers know, you know, that's part of the system design as well. So that's a good point, and I appreciate you being here representing Butte Electric as well, Travis. So
sure. And then there is also, there's been a lot of advancements in the way that we can power pivots too of all brands. You know, we can use direct single phase power now, we can use propane engines, and actually there's some pretty good rebate money from the Propane Energy Council. So if you end up going with a propane engine, you can get some fairly good rebates back on that from the propane people. We can use diesel engines, gas engines, natural gas engines, three phase power. We can convert single phase power to three phase power. So there's a lot of options there. So don't get hung up that just because you're not next to a three phase power line, you can't put in a pivot. So
good point. Appreciate that. So, okay. With that, I think we're going to open it up for questions, and I've got some questions in the chat. So what I'm seeing first are questions for Jeremy and Travis. So I'm going to start with Jeremy first and then Travis. Okay. So the first question that I've got is, how long is it taking now to get a pivot in once it is ordered? And then as a follow-up, just mention any services that they have for irrigation water management, as they've mentioned a little bit. So I'm going to go to Jeremy first. Maybe. Jeremy, can you hear
me?
Okay. Did you hear my question?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, I actually, spoke with Rinky yesterday. May 11th is the current, was the ship date as of yesterday. So middle of May is where we're at on that, on the ship. Probably about 2 months. Well, it actually is getting better. It was out 3, and now we're down to, you know, under 2. So it's getting better for sure.
Okay. And any irrigation water management, like soil moisture sensors or anything like that? You kind of mentioned the CropX earlier, but do you want to add anything to that?
I could just throw this in there. I think. So shutoff valves, automatic shutoff valves, mainline shutoff valves at the pivots, especially on these, gravity flow applications, I think, is a very important, I think it should be mandatory. And I think, lots of people I don't think they even know about the possibilities. I think Travis has installed a lot of them with his hydraulics, and that works well. I think I think that's almost, he's made that standard. But these Nelson makes an 800 series valve, mainline valve, that I think they're very reliable. And If you're putting in a pivot, it's going to be gravity flow, put one of these in, because when that pivot shuts down, maybe you got a power blank or whatever it is, and your water is still flowing, it just isn't good for anything, you or the soil or so.
Good point. A good segue. So I'll turn it over to Travis to answer that question as well. The pivot. Order time, and then also that irrigation water management. But Jeremy, thanks. That's good info.
Yeah, we're running right at the same time frame as Jeremy there. We're right kind of in the middle of May. We ordered one here last week. It'll be May 6th. And then this morning I got information that we're right around May 12th. So kind of pretty much all the pivot manufacturers, it sounds like, are in the same boat there. They got a really big rush of orders this spring. And then as far as the water management stuff, you know, I talked about the field moisture probes and the weather stations, that all integrates into the FieldWise system. And then, like Jeremy said, the hydraulic valves, we've been putting those on anything where the water is coming to the pressure, to the pivot point with pressure. We put that hydraulic valve on there, and that's one nice advantage of the TNL pivots, is we've got the hydraulic pressure available to open and close that valve. And then we do use some of the Nelson 800 series valves as well. And those work well too for the right applications. But it is very important because, as everybody who's been around pivots knows, if you get too much water, that can be as bad as not getting enough water. So it is pretty important to take care of that problem. We can also use that shutoff valve as a communication back to a pump. So not only can we use the FieldWise system to actually have a monitor at the pump site and at the pivot site and have them communicating with each other through the cell network. If that option isn't something you want to do, we can put a simple pressure switch at the pump. And if the pivot shuts down, it'll close that valve. It'll spike the pressure in the pipeline and then shut the water pump off too at the remote site. So there's a lot of logic we can do with valves and things like that too, to, you know, remember that a computer is just ones and zeros, and we can make ones and zeros out of valves too. So
that's a good point. Thanks.
Justin, can you still hear me?
Yep.
I just wanted to mention this. So if you've got a pump, I think maybe Travis was mentioning this. If you've got a pump in a remote location from your pivot, the ability to remotely control that that pump from the pivot, as in your pump, your pivot shuts down for safety's out for whatever reason, and to the ability to kill that pump remotely via radio wave, that's a very viable option. Just because you don't have control kill well wires going underground with your supply, your cable supply, you can still control that pump in that manner. Also,
good point. Thanks for adding that, because the technology that we're seeing today is tremendous compared to 10, 15 years ago. So I appreciate that info. Okay, I'm going to go to our next question. I think I can answer this one. Question was, anybody installing soil moisture sensors, that type of stuff with producers? Over the last probably 5 to 10 years, the partnership and cooperation with NRCS and irrigators within the watershed and the irrigation district have done irrigation water management. Respec, the company that I work for, designed some of the initial software that we had that you could access through the phone. And then the previous coordinator for the Belfouche Watershed Partnership, Matt Stoltenberg, was doing a lot of the field work, downloading data from those soil moisture sensors. The most that we had, or the largest number of irrigators that we had in that program, was 18, I think, in 1 year with multiple fields. There was 18 producers with multiple fields. And if I remember correctly, some of that work was funded through NRCS, I want to say CCG or CCPI program, back when those were funded in the partnership at Access. So I just want to answer that question. Justin Boerboom, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you covered it pretty good. We've really went to promoting the sensors quite heavily. And the reason for that is some of you that are know Dwight gets in the area. He's one of the ones that were part of the original group that was working with the watershed on this. So he's had them in for, I don't know, the past 8-9 years. And what I tell everybody on why you need to be using these is that, and this time, well, his first statement is that he couldn't believe how incorrectly he was irrigating his whole life, or the whole time he had it, you know? So that's one thing. The second part is yes, there's going to be an expense with these after the cost share and the equip is over and, or whatever the program is you're working with. However, according to Dwight's numbers, he has doubled his alfalfa production by properly applying water and implementing soil health. He's improved his ground that he went from 2.5 ton an acre alfalfa up to 5 ton an acre. And that was last time I talked to him, and that's been 3-4 years ago. So
That's a good point, but I don't want you to go in too far because that's our May webinar. So we'll have Dwight talk about that.
Yeah, so that's why I just wanted to promote that. And then I saw Brett asked about subsurface irrigation. And I was just going to touch on that quick. So the problem we have with subsurface irrigation is that we have a lot of heavy clay soils, and it causes, to make it work, my understanding of talking to engineers, the drip lines have to go so close together that it becomes extremely cost prohibitive. With that being said, we do have some soils that would work in the irrigation district for this, for subsurface irrigation. Or to me, I think an area where we're maybe missing the boat a little bit is there's always those corners of pivots that don't get irrigated. If we could look at doing subsurface on those, that might be an opportunity and a good place to experiment with it. So for anybody that's online or might be listening to this in the future, you know, don't be scared to bring that up if it's something you're interested in. I think it's there's good opportunity there, and there's some great water savings that could be happening with those.
Good point. One of the other questions I think I've seen come up, what's the name of my company? I am the Belfouche River Watershed Partnership Coordinator, but I actually work for Respec Consulting, an engineering firm at a headquartered out of Rapid City, South Dakota. So at this time, we've got about 9 minutes left before Zoom kicks us off. So I'm just going to open it up to questions at this point. We've covered everything in the chat. So if you want to ask a question, try to raise your hand on Zoom. If not, throw something in the chat and I'll try to unmute you. Okay. Trying to see if there's anybody. Okay. Well, again, with that, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me again at 605-877-2134, or my email is on the Zoom invite information that you got. Go ahead and send me that. I will, everybody that was on this evening on the webinar, I will go ahead and email all of the contact information that was given out tonight. And then probably as a reminder, you'll get another invite for the next webinar, which is scheduled for Thursday, April 22nd, again at 7 p.m. And during that one, we'll be covering soil health and plant water demands. And that will feature some of our NRCS soil scientists and or agronomists, along with Dave Ola with the South Dakota Soil Health Coalition, and then also some producers perhaps. So with that, I don't see any other questions, and I just want to thank everyone again. And I especially want to thank Jen Lutz, who wasn't able to be on the webinar tonight because I think she's doing field work for the bird surveys at night. So I just want to give a shout out to her also for her help in getting this getting everything registered for the webinar. So with that, if there isn't anybody else that has a question, we'll go ahead and shut it down for this evening, and appreciate you being online tonight. Hopefully there was some information that was useful for you.